Hi, Julia. Hi, Sharon. Hi, Chelsea. Hi, LV. Hi, Rachel. Give everyone another moment. Okay. Where is everybody today? I'll give us another half minute and then we'll jump in. Rachel, I'm feeling so much better. Thank you for asking. Last week was one of the worst. I haven't been sick like that in a long time. I had strep, and on top of that, a non-COVID respiratory infection or virus or something. I don't know what. And it took me out. But you know what? It was a great opportunity to practice what I preach and actually lay on the couch for a day or two. I watched a lot of Netflix. Right, well, let's get started. It looks like we might be a small group today. We'll see. It's good to see everybody's that's here. Trish, I feel like I haven't seen you in a while. It's great to see you. Okay. Yes, Sharon, I got it from John, but the kids didn't have it. So, anyway. So, Sonia is asking if we're doing self-love today. So, that's the first thing that I wanted to mention. We missed our self-love call last week. I had to cancel it because I wasn't feeling well. And again, thank you everybody for understanding. I was really out of it for most of last week. And so I haven't yet. What I'm going to do about for the self-love content is I'm going to make a recording of it for you to have as home study. I briefly considered rescheduling the class, but because we actually only have a week left, I didn't want people to get stressed out of like, oh my gosh, this is last minute and I don't know if I can make it. So I'm gonna give you everything that you need on a recording. It's on my schedule to do tomorrow, actually. And then, of course, if you have any follow-up questions on that material, let me know. So that's what we'll do with our self-love module. We've got journaling as a coaching and transformational tool today. I'm really looking forward to our call today. It's going to be really interactive with a lot of brainstorming and creativity. I think you'll all really love it. We'll have a lot of fun. And then next week, we've got our last call for this cycle, which I can't, in some ways, it's been a long 10 months, right? And then in other ways, it's been such a short 10 months. So, yeah, we have our last call, but it's kind of an epic one. It's 3 hours. And in that call, we're going to look at a couple of different things. We're going to look at ritual as a coaching tool and a transformational tool, one of my favorite topics. Of course, I could teach for a full year on ritual, but we'll like get some really good pieces in. And then we're also going to do a training on next steps calls. And that's on how to support clients to continue working with you. ones that are meant to, right? When they come to the end of a cycle. And we'll bring it all together since that's going to be the end of our cycle as well. I also have a special little gift for you at the end. Not a gift, but something special from my heart to yours. It is a gift. So I know that you'll love that as well. So that's what's happening this week and next week. Who is John Lemunyon? I have a feeling it's somebody that maybe in our circle that signed in a different from a different Zoom account, but I just don't recognize who that is. Who's here is John? Oh, okay. Looks like he's gone. It wasn't meant to be here. I don't know how that happened. Okay. So, what else did I want to tell you? A couple of housekeeping pieces. We'll keep our Facebook group open through the end of next week. So, any follow-up questions that you have for me on anything that you want to post, etc. If you want to make sure you connect, get people's connect with people before we end the cycle and get their information or whatever it is, the Facebook group will be open through next Friday. And then what we do is we make it an archived group. So what that means is you can still access the group whenever you want. You can look through old posts, etc. We just close it off to new posts and new comments. So if you want to go back and watch videos or that I have in there or whatever it is, or look at things, it's all there for you. What else can I tell you? I guess just the other piece is you'll get an email from me at some point this week or next week asking if you'd like to write a testimonial about the program. I do not expect you to write a testimonial. It is by invitation only. And of course, I'm always honored and privileged if you choose to. Writing a short testimonial about your experience in Sacred Depths and what you've really received, it helps me out so much when people are considering stepping into the program. Words of past participants really count for a lot. And also I have to say the other way that it helps me out is that I always take it straight into my heart and then it just like makes my day and my week. And sometimes I go back and read testimonials when I need a pick me up. So anyway, I'll be sending out an email, requesting that. And if that's something that you feel called to do, I would just appreciate it so much. And future participants, if it will help them step in and they will appreciate it so much. Oh, Rachel, thank you. I'm glad you've been composing one in your head. All right, any logistics or housekeeping questions before we jump into our content for today? Anything that anyone needs or any questions that you have? Rachel.
I have a question regarding the certification
Oh, wait,
call.
hold on. I don't think my sound is on. Okay, start
Can you
again.
hear me now?
Yeah, I can.
Yeah. So I just have a question about doing the certification call. I noticed on the list, which I have behind me, that it's mostly like modules from the first half of the program. But I was wondering if we include things like befriend your fear or negative thought patterns, is that something that we could include in that
Absolutely,
list?
100%. Please do. The reason why we don't score on those things is because they're hard to manufacture in a session. Like, you don't know before going into a session if there's going to be opportunity and if it will be optimal to do a befriend your fear or a rewiring or anything like that. And I don't want you to feel the pressure to try to like manufacture that to show it off in a way. So if it comes up, yes, 100%. And I don't listen to them, but Inval will score based on, you know, those foundational proficiencies, but absolutely wherever it wants to go, wherever you feel called to include that in the session. All
right. Great, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Any other questions that anyone has? No? Okay. All right. So today we're going to look at journaling. And journaling is, it can be a really effective tool. And I like to look at it at this point in Sacred Depths, because we can use all, it can bring together so many of the different skills and topics and techniques that we've already explored and learned in the program. And you'll see what I mean by that when we get there. So really, when you're at the top of your game with your one-on-one journaling skills, everything that we've learned so far kind of helps you to be on top of that game. That's the best way I can say it. Journaling is something, and probably many of you are similar to this, journaling is one of those things that has played a huge role in my own life and business. I have used journaling as a transformational tool literally since I was 6 years old when I got my first diary. I still have it. And it's really actually amazing for me to see, you know, even back then, without realizing it, I was using it to process the things that were going on in my life. I was using it as a self-connection tool. I was using it to make meaning out of my life, you know, and to come to terms. When my mother got diagnosed with a multiple sclerosis when I was very, very little, it was a very big event in my whole family's life. And I can see, starting from those younger years, how I used journaling to work through so much of that. And then as I got older, used it, you know, I've been using it more intentionally. I use it for my personal life. It is key to my business growth as well. And to my soul work, right? So it's like, you know, so much in coaching, it's about achieving goals, which is awesome, right? We all have goals that we want to achieve, and that's important, and it's great. Journaling can help us gain clarity, bring awareness, work through different parts of ourselves, etc., to reach those goals. But journaling can also be used as a tool separate from goals, a tool that allows you to connect to yourself and to your soul, to feel nourished inside of yourself. And I really believe that that's just as, if not more important than reaching our goals. And of course it is, a tool to help us reach our goals as well. Okay, so all that being said, the way that we're going to look at journaling today is a little bit different, similar, it dovetails, but it's a little bit different than how you might use it in facilitation if you were leading a group. You know, in Sacred Depths, we've used journaling a lot in group work. But where we're going to really focus today is on one-on-one. And more specifically, where we're going to focus journaling, not necessarily as something that you would use in a session, though we will talk about, you know, when and how to use it during a session. But really where journaling can become powerful is to use it as homework in between sessions, follow up after sessions. If you're gonna use journaling exercises during an actual live one-on-one session, there are really only a few times where it's optimal versus conversation or visualization or like any of the processes that we've learned. But if you're actually gonna ask a client to start writing and journaling during a one-on-one session, you're probably going to do it when the client needs a pattern interrupt. And what I mean by that is if the client is having trouble clearing their head, or if like there's just a lot of confusion or too much mental energy, if you've been doing a lot of strategizing on the outward end of things and the client is having trouble moving more inward and into their inner life, sometimes that pattern break of journaling can be just like a first step to move them into their inner life. Sometimes the pattern interrupt can be if a client is a lot in their heart, and they have trouble, it's time to move into their head. They need to move into their head. So that can be another way to use journaling. You can do list making or ask a question, etc. But aside from really that pattern interrupt, what you'll want to use journaling for mainly is homework. And there are a couple of different reasons why you'd want to use journaling for homework. So number one, if you want to go deeper on certain topics that you just didn't have enough time to get to in your session, maybe you started to open up some topics and you don't want to wait till the next session, journaling questions are a great way to do it. Another reason why you might want to use journaling is a reinforcement and practice of new learnings. So if there are very new things that came up in a session and it's like the client is there, but you know that they need to go deeper into the belief, they need to go deeper into the feeling, they need to go deeper into the practice, journaling can be really helpful for that. If there are pieces that came up in a session that weren't fully baked, not only because you came to the end of the session time and you didn't get to fully bake them together, but you know, sometimes a topic needs more processing over a period of time, right? It needs like marinating on it. So giving journaling questions on that can be really helpful. I think a lot about the work that we do. It's not just in our actual sessions with our clients, right? This is back to the container. We're not just holding a container this session and then we're holding again a container next session for the client and next. Yes, those are tighter containers when we're in session, but we're actually holding a container for the full however many months we're working with them, 3 months, 6 months, a year. And the processing and the work doesn't just happen in the sessions, right? So much can happen in between sessions. So giving homework and giving journaling homework can help continue whatever you started in a session. Another time to assign journaling homework is every now and again, something will come up in a session that is really, really personal to a client. And they may want to explore the issue in private first before working on it with you. You know, just sometimes there are very sensitive topics where it will make sense for a client to look at it themselves first, guided by journaling questions. Does all of that make sense? Yeah. Okay. So, one of the things I love about journaling is that there are very few rules when it comes to journaling as homework. It's a place where you can get very, very creative. And not just asking questions, not just answering questions. You can give dialoguing homework, drawing, you know, under journaling, this will make this broad, draw things out, list making, mind mapping, diagram making, right? All of those things. So you can get really creative. There are very few rules, but there are a couple of like rules or guidelines that I have found to be helpful. Number one, it shouldn't take up too much time. Any homework that takes up too much time is usually like a no-go. You know, the client will get to the next session and be like, I didn't get to it. It was just too big. It was too overwhelming, right? It's similar to strategizing when you want to like chunk things down. Same with any kind of homework, journaling homework. But that being said, you also don't want the journaling to be like a very short throwaway thing either. You want to kind of find the amount that's appropriate. When you assign journaling homework for a client, the first time you want to just kind of talk to them a little bit about carving out quiet time, carving out space for themselves, giving themselves the half hour or whatever it is, or you know, two times of half hour, whatever it is, to just really be with themselves and to give full presence to the work. I often like to recommend, and we've done this sometimes when we journal together as a group. I'm sure you've noticed, I often like to recommend after any kind of journaling or drawing or any of that, to read over what they wrote and then list takeaways. It's very similar to the concept of asking about a takeaway at the end of a session, right? It's like you process through, your things happen, you process through things, new ideas come up, new feelings, etc. But then you want to do something for integration at the end of it. I do always like to have some kind of follow-up if I'm assigning journaling questions. So I'll ask clients for them to, you know, if we have our next session set pretty soon, I'll just ask about it in our next session. But if we're not meeting again for a couple of weeks, I'll ask them to email me. Not necessarily to email me everything that they've journaled, but what their takeaways are, what they've learned, you know, what they're seeing through the work, and we may go back and forth over email a bit. Some of the reason for that is to help clients further process what's come through in the journaling. But there's a second reason for the follow-up and hearing from clients, whether it's verbally or over email, what came through. And it's back to being seen and heard and the power of being witnessed. And then, kind of last rule-y or guideline thing that I'll say about journaling is if you are somebody who doesn't like to journal, then chances are your ideal client might not like to journal either. And if that's the case, then use law of adaptation, right? Are they a drawer? Are they a visualizer? Are they a list maker? Are, right, like how can this be adapted to suit your client's needs? Okay. I'm going to share a couple more things and then we're going to get into our creative selves. As you all know by now, I like to put things into categories. And so there are kind of two broad categories that you can think about when assigning journaling homework. Category A, we can call more general journaling practices. So, more general journaling practices. So, what these are things that the more general journaling practices, they're a practice. They're an ongoing, more than once practice or assignment. For example, morning pages, right? If you've read Margaret Julia Cameron, An Artist's Way, she talks about doing morning pages. These practices are ongoing, so you wouldn't necessarily invite every client that you have to do these. You'd really only invite those clients that have the space and the willingness to do that persistent, longer term inner work on their own, right? They're into that kind of thing. Ongoing general journaling practices, the purpose is to consistently connect with self, connect with spirit, connect with heart. Again, these are exercises that work best over time, not a once and done. So, examples of them are morning pages, ongoing dream work. We just did a whole 2 days in advanced, part of which was on dream work. Another example of ongoing journaling practice is a gratitude lists. What else? Let me hear from you. What are some other ideas for ongoing practices? Journaling ones.
I don't think this is quite that, but I have one client that loves to journal, and how we do our work in between sessions is whatever comes up in our session, there's always like a thing, and that's her journaling work to do. And then whenever we come back in session, she actually reads from the journal for me. It's what works for us. I think that this is actually quite unusual. I've never had a client do this, but it's working. So, but like the ongoing thing is whatever comes up in the session, that's the thing
That's
that's
what she,
being worked
that's
on.
what the client journals on throughout.
Yeah.
Yes, that's kind of the category B that we're going to get to, like the situational. So that's awesome. And we'll get to different like creative ways of doing that too. But I love that you have a client. I mean, that's amazing that there's that ongoing journaling. That is a
It's,
practice for her, for sure. It's great.
it's really amazing. It's fun as a coach. Yeah.
Yeah, beautiful. Sharon.
Yeah, I haven't thought of doing this necessarily with a client, or I haven't yet anyway. But one of the things that I've done when I feel like I like self-expression would be helpful, but journaling just kind of feels like too much, like should it be morning pages, should it be all page, is to just do like a haiku. Or there's actually something called a monostitch, which I learned about at a writing workshop that I was at. That's a one-line poem.
I love
So
that.
something, for some people that maybe want to be a little bit more creative, but they
Yeah.
don't necessarily want to do a whole big, kind of mind dump, but to take whatever's on your heart and soul and do something, a small creative piece of writing.
I
Think of
love
something
that.
like
That's
that.
so beautiful. Yeah, and people really love a couple is a little bit different, but it's making me think. John and my husband and I have this thing for different big events in his life. Twice already, I've invited all of his friends once to write haikus about him. And then I made another book for him with limericks, which is sillier, but people love it. Like people end up writing 2 and 3 and 4 because it's this fun, short, creative thing that they get to do.
And I think that I love that you brought in that the silliness, right? Because some of this tends to all feel like it's got to be heavy, pulling up from your guts. And I did a masterclass on fear, on upending fear last week. And one of the things that I presented was, you know, when you need to kind of short circuit the mind loops is chanting or make up a silly song. And I taught them a silly song that I made up years ago when I first started dating my husband. And I, you know, the beginning of all relationships, I always thought I knew what it could be. And then I made up the I don't know anything song. And I taught that to them. You know, it doesn't all have to be heavy and serious.
Completely. I love it. I love it. Those are great suggestions, Sharon. Thank you. There's some great suggestions in the chat too. Evening reflections, Chelsea is saying, what's an examine? I want to know what that is. I want to know what that is. Solvay is saying having clients journal affirmations or visualize their desires or have them really develop those desires in journal form. Yes, like you might talk about it in a session and then go deeper with it, with the writing, really make it as three-dimensional as you possibly can. Chelsea's saying an examine comes from a Christian tradition. I've sort of adapted it into my own, where I ask the same three questions. Where did I experience joy? What do I want to let go of? Where did I notice abundance? Those are beautiful questions. And like, that's a practice, right? That repetitive practice. So you can even make that those up specifically for a client, right? What did I learn? Some of the ones I've worked with before in that way is like, at the end of each day, what are my lessons from the day? What am I celebrating from the day? And what do I want to let go of from the day? Excuse me. Awesome. Any other ideas on ongoing journaling practices, that practiced thing? Another one is a wind journal, Stephanie is saying, yes. Julia, and I think Elijah, your hand was raised again too. I was gonna call you.
It was, I mean, I wrote it in the chat, but I'll just say like, I totally forgot because it's something I do almost daily and have some clients do, which is a fear inventory. And then I have them say out loud, like these are thoughts. I don't have to believe these thoughts. And then to write like affirmations or replacement thoughts. Like,
yes.
And it's been really helpful for me and for my clients.
Yeah. Right. Just to daily name it, call it out. Like, oh, that's what's been going on inside of me. And then that higher wisdom piece. Julia.
Yes. Monica Shaw taught me a couple of years ago, and I use this with my clients and myself, to dump all our thoughts into two buckets, worries or concerns, so that we can see whether we are looking at something that's well within our reach, and also to give us that perspective that it's not really as bad as you think it is. And a lot of what we're thinking about are things in which it just puts it in its proper bucket. And it's the difference between the world is going to hell in a handbasket and I will never get another client. You know, what is a worry and what is a concern? And then to work on exactly what you can within your purview, allowing for everything else to unfold as it should, or getting a different perspective to that. And for my left-brained clients, they find that super helpful, super, super helpful, because it immediately shows them what they can do and that, you know, they can put things in a better context for their situation.
I love that. Yes. It's, again, like this idea of just getting that whatever you're anxious about, concerned about, worried about, just the act of writing it out, making a list. It's not that you're getting rid of it completely, if only, but it does begin to create some separation from it, and to be able to see either like, this is story, this isn't story, or oh, I can handle this maybe in this way, or I can think about this differently. Beautiful. Good. Okay. All right. So let's keep on going. The second category, I call it more like specific instances. This is what Elijah was talking about earlier, right? Different things are going to come up in a session, and then you'll assign journaling questions or, you know, homework really based on it. So there are, as like, there's so many different ways this can go. And the best way for us to kind of get deep into the meat of it is I'm going to share some client session scenarios. And I want to hear from you, what are some homework, journaling homework assignments you would give this client? Feel free to get as creative as possible. Again, it doesn't just have to be writing, it can be drawing, it can be mind mapping, etc. Dialoguing, if you want to throw visualization in there, right? Like, let's kind of get really creative, use all of the tools we've already learned, plus all of your other tools. And let's see what we come up with. So this is going to require all of you sharing a lot. Okay, so here's the first example. In a client session, your client shares that she hasn't done any of the action steps that the two of you strategized out from the session before. She's working on her logo design business, and the two of you in the previous session had strategized steps for her to take on, to bring on new clients. She hasn't done any of those actions. This is the second session in a row that this has happened. No action has been taken. And when you look at this more deeply together, you see that a few things are at play. Number one, the client didn't quite have the time in her schedule to complete all of the action steps. Although she did have time to complete some, which she didn't do. So that was one thing that was going on, not quite enough time. The other thing, when you looked together, you saw that this client had some fear and resistance around being visible. In the session itself, because that came up, the fear of being visible, you used your befriend your fear tools and you did a BYF process around her fear of visibility. And in that process, what came of it is she connected deeply with a time when her first boyfriend made fun of her for wanting to become a famous artist. She was able to see that the perceived rejection from her boyfriend made her feel ashamed of her creativity. Remember, she has a logo design business. And also made her feel nervous to let others know that she wanted to make a business out of her creativity. The higher level message that came out of the BYF process that you did together was trust your creative self. Trust your creative self. So you did all of that in a session. You got to the end of the session. What journaling homework or otherwise would you give this client? I'll give you all a couple of minutes to think about this. Journaling questions, dialoguing, drawing, list making, mind mapping. What are some different ideas to help the client go deeper with all of this? All right. So I want to hear from a lot of you. Let's hear one at a time just to give everyone who wants to share opportunity to share. Don't be shy. Let's hear all of your thoughts and creative ideas on journaling homework. Chelsea.
The first idea I had was to invite her to draw her creative self. And be really detailed about what is she wearing, like what is, what setting is she in, what does she like to do, maybe even creating a logo for her, and to just kind of get into some of the juicy, like visual elements of that part of herself through drawing.
I love that. Like, that's basically drawing on her natural strength of drawing, right? So, and this idea of like, she's a logo creator. So create a logo for herself, like for her creative self. What would that logo look like? It's beautiful. Such a beautiful way to draw on that client's strengths, to have her in her creativity, and then for her to do a deeper inspection of her creative self and really strengthen that. Nice. Thanks, Chelsea. Rose.
I suggested doing some dialoguing with the various parts of herself, the creative self, and with the fear of visibility. I don't know if there's a name or, but to provide a sense of safety so that the one who is afraid of being visible is protected and has the space to have a voice. Because I know for myself, I mean, that's an important thing, that voice is protected. So to kind of do the parts work of creating a dialogue so we can find out what each side of her wants and needs in order to be happy and safe in the world.
Yeah, beautiful, 100%. So hopefully in the BYF process that you do together, she'll start to dialogue with that voice of the fear. But again, the difference between a breakthrough and a transformation, right? You want to keep on going with it. So continuing to hear from that voice. And then I love this bringing in the voice of the creative one as well. And then those two could even dialogue with each other, right? So like the creative one could ask the fear a question and the fear could answer and vice versa. And they could come to more of an intentional meeting place together. Nice. As a reminder, we looked at this in our Befriend Your Fear module. And for those of you that are going to be in advanced, we're going to go deeper with this. This act or this process of connecting with the fear and dialoguing with the fear, one of the purposes, of course, is like we get information from it, etc. But the other purpose is that it helps us regulate. When we can intentionally be with and dialogue with our fear, it supports the body to regulate more, to get more grounded, to not be so dysregulated when the fear comes up. Beautiful. Elvie.
Yeah, the prompt that came for me was to connect to her higher self. You moved around, I couldn't find you. And the prompt that came out was, what does my highest self want me to love about my creative process?
I love that, activating that spirit level of learning and processing and really letting, and remember that spirit level cultivates trust. So if we can bring higher wisdom or higher self in, it can help cultivate more trust in the creative self.
Yeah, and it would depend on the person I'm talking to, because so many people don't have that connection. So
yeah, and so you can modulate language. Like for some people, it might be, what does your higher self say about it. For other people, it could be, what does God say about it? For someone else, it could be, what would your 10-year-old daughter want you to know about your creativity? That's actually activating spirit level as well, because it's something bigger than the ego.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Good. Solveig.
Yeah, I love that. Well, I was just, I had written two. I'll just say the one I was not going to say, which is kind of building on what Elvie said too, of something about like writing a letter to her younger self. I think that's sort of like the, you know, the 10-year-old, and sharing the wisdom that she's learned since that experience with her boyfriend was one direction. And then the other direction, and this is like the sort of one of my favorite ways to go with journaling, is to think about, I use the next level self a lot as the sort of space. So envisioning or visualizing that next level self 6 months or a year from now, when this is not as much of an issue, and how does she practice visibility daily or weekly in a way that feels authentic and pleasurable? Some sort of question like that, depending on the plan.
Yeah, love both of those. So one, to just really write to that younger self. Again, that also supports regulation, right? Just holding space for that part, sharing the wisdom that you have now as an adult, and letting that one know. And I love this next, what did you call it? Next level self?
Next level self. I mean, it's higher self. It depends. The language would depend, but when you picture the person that does have this figured out.
Yes. Yeah. And, you know, like as you're talking, those two can really go together. So if you did the first one first, and really the client through the journaling got into their next level self and visualized it and really connected in with the energy, then that next level self could speak to the 8-year-old.
That's lovely.
Beautiful. Good. Kelsey.
These shares are so helpful because they're pushing me outside of my comfort zone. My first thought was around doing a little data tracking or just observation of habits. And so where, you know, thinking about this like current self versus next level self, or this low trust place versus this high trust place, and either making a list of things that you notice from the low self, low trust, and like drawing the arrows over to what it would look like if we converted that to high self, or just spending a week having a little check mark next to your, like a piece of paper next to your desk, and like noting when you're seeing or what's triggering the low self, low trust thought patterns, and then just coming in and starting to reflect on that, and then moving into how can we transfer those to higher trust.
Yes, I love all of that. Doing that's really part of the rewiring work, right? So like tracking so that you start to notice in the moment when that those lower self ideas or beliefs or fears get triggered, right? So just the tracking of it can give so much good information. But the secondary purpose of the tracking is like, you start to notice it in the moment, right? More, oh, that's what's happening right now, right? And then it doesn't have to be all of you, but you can see like, oh, this is a part of me, right? Because when those lower level beliefs take over, it's like all of a sudden we think that's the only truth that ever was and ever will be, right? Forevermore. And then relating it to those higher level truths. Beautiful. Good. I feel like there's, let me see what's going on in the chat here. So Stephanie got the logo thing too that Chelsea was saying. Love that. Elijah's saying she came up with two prompts of the fear inventory that you were talking about before. Yes. And then when I allow my creativity to flow and to start off, remember, that's another way to do journaling. The journaling can be posed as a question or a prompt, and just to keep on writing. When I give prompts like that, one of the things I like to tell people is write as fast as you can without stopping, without really thinking, without worrying about grammar, and just let it flow for 2 minutes and then see what came through. have a conversation with the self that was told by her boyfriend. Yes. So she can go back to that one as well. Good. Elvie's asking, would you put affirmations in the journaling category? For sure. For sure. Anyone else have any ideas? Even if you're not positive, don't be shy. What else might you do? Julia.
Okay, so I came up with four questions, and I see that, anyway, I'm here judging myself. It's what's really going on? How does that make you feel? What does it remind you of? And what do you know to be true about yourself? And then I think what kind of like honed in for me was that there were thoughts that were getting in the way of the creative process of being a creative being. So it's to go there and see what the mind was thinking, what the mind was receiving, and then looking at, well, is this true? Or what is true? Or what do we know that can then be applied back down but really just taking it to the head, I realize.
Yeah. No, but that's okay, right? Because the mental work is very important work. And with the belief work, we want to start off on that mental level, the cognition level. So looking at, okay, what are the exact beliefs? Is it true? I forget each of the questions that you asked, but yeah. And then kind of tracking it that way. And you can even track that throughout the week. Similar to what Kelsey was sharing. Beautiful. Good. Anyone else? Let's see. Sharon's saying, I'm also thinking about some movement to get out of her head and into her body with flowy inner directed movement, like, yes, to literally stretch herself into a different state. Yeah. And if you do something like that, you can ask the client, you know, what's a piece of music that represents your creative self? And they can put that piece of music on, and you can give them direction, you know, almost like it could, and this may not be exactly what you were sharing, Sharon, but maybe just a variation of it. It could be like an authentic movement piece. So when I do authentic movement, or when I assign authentic movement, I ask the client, and I'll do sometimes, by the way, sometimes even in session, we'll do authentic movement every now and again. But what I have found to be pretty helpful with that is first to put the music on and to spend the first 5 or so seconds not moving, just being in your body and feeling in to the music, feeling in this case, to the energy of creativity, and then to move from there. Rachel.
You just reminded me of one that I use with clients, but this is kind of like a question and a share. Like often I'll get people to embody, like, what does that confident creative person sit like? How do they sit? How do they move? And we'll do that at the end of the session and mirror it. And I'm just wondering, I guess that could potentially be a journaling exercise of some way, but do you have ideas of how to encourage people to practice that or use that as an anchor to get into their confident self?
Yeah, so journaling is great, and then prompting them to actually do it in their bodies is great. You could, so I feel like most people with something like that, they need prompts. So the kind of quicker way would to just be to type it out and have them have the piece of paper and then visualize, you know, then say like, close your eyes, sit in your chair, feel your confident self, etc. If you want to take the time and go a little further, you could create a 3-minute, 5-minute audio visualization for the client where you lead them through some kind of meditation or visualization of whatever the exercise that you're thinking of them to do, you know, so that they have it and they can listen to it. with sensing in like that, human beings usually need some kind of container, unless they already have a practice of it on their own. So the container can be the piece of paper with instructions, and then better yet, a short audio. Oh, that answer your question?
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, great idea. I think you all hit most of the stuff that I wrote down. Oh, I also had, if the client was ready to it, she ready for it, she could also journal, she could write an angry letter to that boyfriend that she would never send, but a way to kind of move into some anger about the situation versus just feeling hurt by the situation. And then the other piece is just the time work. So if a client doesn't, you know, if they aren't having time for action steps, you might want to point them back to blueprinting, to looking at ideal schedule, etc. All right, let's look at another example. So in this example, you're working with a client on setting boundaries. And in session, your client realizes that she's a doormat in a lot of her relationships. She overgives, she takes over responsibility, she allows others to be critical of her and to take advantage of her. And as you look at this together in session, you uncover that this client has a fear of others being angry at her. So, and that she has a fear of others being angry at her, and that there's a buried, and this comes up in the session, that there's a buried energy of the warrior lying dormant inside of her. That she does have some warrior energy in there, but it's dormant for her. So you just touched on that a little bit in the session. Part of the homework that you come up with at the end of the session is for her to set boundaries with one of her close friends, specifically no more lending money that she never gets paid back. And then the other boundary that she wants to set is with her parents, not feeling like she has to call them every day. And she's decided that she wants to set both of these boundaries with confidence and love. So we can call them the outer action homework, right? Those setting of those two boundaries. What's the inner homework? What's the journaling and otherwise that you might give this client? I'll give you a few minutes to jot down ideas. So before we hear from you, I want to mention this. A lot of times at the end of sessions, hey, Linda, I'm glad you made it. Or you'll watch the replay. A lot of times at the end of sessions, we'll come to the end and there's something more for the client to do, and I'll just assign different journaling things right then and there. other times we'll come to the end of the session and I know that there's more to do. But I might say to the client, you know, I'm going to send you an email later today with a couple of different ideas for how to go further with this. It might be just because I need a little bit more time to think through, like, what are the things that I really think would be best for this client. Sometimes it's because I feel like if they have it in writing, it would be easier too. So I just wanted to put that out there. Also, sometimes I assign it like that, and then other times I might send an email later that day. All right, what have you got? Don't be shy to share. Let's hear your ideas. They're all so good. And I love, can you all see how you're bringing together so much of what we've learned for these homework, these journaling assignments? Rose.
Yeah, I love this idea of the warrior and inviting the client to get intrigued by this other identity. And so there could be a way to, if they're creative and want to paint her or draw her, but I think I was thinking of looking for photos of, you know, what a goddess or what an archetypal energy might look like so that she begins to inhabit this other identity with how she could dress and what she would feel like, because it's literally a different identity. So to get into that aspect of it.
I love that, like a collaging and a creating, art making, creating something of this other archetypal energy of the one who knows how to set boundaries, or even what her warrior, like creating a collage of her warrior self and words and images.
And what the warrior could dress like, if it's makeup or if it's just the energy of that warrior archetypal energy.
Beautiful. I love that. Nice. And Raka, I'm glad you're here. Yeah, the time change I know with Europe has been hard this week. You're not the only one in one of my classes yesterday that happened too, but I'm glad you're here now. Elvie.
I mean, the first thing that came up for me was to have her make a list of all the worst case scenario things that could happen if she fully put her stake in the ground and got closer to the energy of the warrior.
Yes. I love that. Like going to just really naming the worst case scenario, because usually it's rolling around in someone's head whether they realize it or not and causing so much fear. So giving them the exercise to write it down. And I feel like there should be a second part to that exercise too. What would the mm-hmm. second part be, Elvie?
Maybe flipping those over, and what would be the good things that could come up from those worst case scenarios.
Yeah. Yeah. What would be the good things that would come of it? Or what resources does she have inside to be able to handle and be resilient through those worst case scenarios? Or what part of herself would be needed to handle that? Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. Or even questioning them, going back and questioning each of them. Are those really real?
Or yes. Yeah. Right. Is that just catastrophic thinking that isn't true?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's cross some of those off the list. And then mm-hmm. for the rest, okay, what are we doing with them? Beautiful. Yeah. Good. Naomi.
Okay. So this is the heart of my work. So I feel excited to we're exploring creativity today. So for journaling questions, I have, what do I need to prepare myself to stand in my courage and truth with my loved ones? Mm-hmm. What does standing up for myself look like? Mm-hmm. And draw a picture of me holding my boundaries strong, or client. And then I do a lot of image theater work, which is you create an image with your body. So for me, if I think about holding my boundaries, it's like this. Yes. Create a body image and then encode that in your body. So you do it three times. And then tap it into some place in your body that's going to encode that. And then we got a lot of things here. This was a fun one that I just thought of. Describe a day in the life of my inner warrior. And Yeah, just a little storytelling that you could do out loud, or like a voice recording, or just write that down.
That's great. Yes, I love that. Like asking people to tell a story, they can get so creative. And then it's almost like you can take yourself out of yourself for a moment and then put yourself in that energy. I love the body coding pieces too. And sometimes you can do that in session with someone. I'm sure you know, Naomi. You can do that in session with someone as well. And for me, another thing that just strengthens doing that is when the client does the motion, if you're on Zoom, you mirror them back so that they can also be like witnessed and seen in it, and then get that reflection of the validation back of that energy. Beautiful. Great stuff. Who else? What else did you come up with? There's some things in the chat. Let's see. Julia Singh, play out several scenarios in your mind or on paper, seeing each one through to the end. Yes, each of the boundary pieces, places where they're going to set boundaries, deciding how you'd like to feel and be as you have the conversation, including an ideal result. Yes, and then notice what happens in your body and how you can help yourself relax. Right, so taking yourself through it. And then seeing where the places where you can get more regulated and relaxed. Stephanie saying make three lists, list of things she's not going to put up with anymore in her overall life. Yes, I feel like we could all make that list, list of things she can handle, but would make her angry if she continued to say yes. Beautiful. And then a list of ideal ways she wants to interact with others. This is the warrior and boundary setter. Yes. And then notice how they feel in their body. Nice. Beautiful. Who else? What else did you come up with for this one? Rachel.
I just have two kind of small ones. One was listing scenarios in the past where people have been angry at her and she survived.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Yes. And then maybe as a piece of that, what resources she has inside of her that allowed her to survive.
Nice.
So that she can really ground down into her resources. Mm-hmm. Good. Good. Yeah. Who else? I feel like there are a few more out there. What else have you got? Anyone want to share? Rachel, yeah, go again.
Is it okay if I ask a question?
Yes.
Like I'm trying to think of ways to help this person connecting with their own like anger. Like I'm a people pleaser myself and I'm also scared of anger, so I'm also thinking like how can you help a client connect in with that, like that anger in themselves, like, and like as a resource in some way.
So one effective and like safe way to do it, well, there are a couple. So Writing is always a great way to tap into anger. So one thing that I'll sometimes recommend to a client is to put on angry music. Like for me, PJ Harvey does it. And then I write that, and then the instruction is to write a letter that expresses anger to whoever, you know, whoever you're angry at. Knowing that you would never send this letter and you get to use any words, anything that you want to say, because this isn't going out in the real world. This is just as an opportunity to tap into that flow and express some of what's being suppressed. The music can really help with that sometimes, just to move into that energy. Another way, and this isn't for everyone, this next way, it's just for people that are game and feel comfortable with movement, but it's to put on angry music. And similar to the authentic movement, take a few moments, tap in to the music, to the energy in your body, and then just move through it. and notice how you feel in your body.
Thank you.
Yeah, great question. Yeah, and that's a great, that's whenever, whenever you're working with a client on boundaries, there's so many different directions to go in. And the archetype of the warrior, as we looked at a little bit a few months ago, is a great archetype for boundary setting. And one of the superpowers of the warrior is that the warrior knows how to express anger in healthy ways. Sometimes we need to go to the shadow place to like express it in the unhealthy ways to start to tap into that flow of energy to then get to the aligned and healthy ways. All right, let's see. Some others that I had that weren't mentioned. Draw, so similar to roses, I like the idea of finding images, but you could also draw your warrior woman, dialogue with your warrior. Draw, so this is another way of maybe, you know, hooking into some things, but draw what it feels like as a doormat. You know, if that's a word, a metaphor that the client used in session, to draw that. On the more mental level, but still very important. And I think Julia's actually suggestions got to this too. Write a draft of what you want to say to those people that you're setting boundaries to, that friend with the money and the parents. Follow yourself throughout the week and make a list of all the times that you've ignored a boundary because of fear of making others angry, and then also make a list of all the times you've upheld a boundary and how that's felt and what's been going on for you. Sometimes I'll give people a homework assignment to find role models. So in this case, find role models or make a list of people that set boundaries in healthy ways and how they do it. And this can be real people, fictional characters, etc. But as a way of tapping in more to that archetypal boundary setting energy. And then just a couple others. Write a definition for healthy responsibility, right? As opposed to over responsibility. And healthy giving versus over giving. Any other thoughts on that one? So what's starting to come together? What are you seeing about journaling, or what are you excited about, or what questions do you have? Or about homework in general, when you give clients homework in between sessions? Naomi.
I would love some insight around balancing giving and receiving. I've been listening to Brené Brown's The Gifts of Imperfection, and I'm curious. I feel like it's part of this conversation around boundaries, giving and receiving. So I'm curious to know. I'm curious to know your thoughts on where receiving fits in this conversation.
Talk more about that. Tell me a little bit more.
What I'm learning, and maybe you've touched on this too at some point, but what I'm learning from that book is to be a healthy giver, you must be a healthy receiver. Yeah. And so I may have missed something in my notes, but what I just wrote was make notes on healthy boundaries and healthy giving and over giving.
And so I'm curious about where you see receiving fitting into this work.
Yeah, it's such a great question. So first of all, just so you know, because you're going to be in advanced, we're going to do a whole day on warrior and boundaries and giving and receiving and how to set both inside of yourself boundaries as well with others. So there's so much on this. With receiving, so much to say on that too, but I'll offer this and I'll ask you if this is helpful and what's sparking. Whether we realize it or not, not all of us, but many of us, and this is just because of, I think, patriarchal culture, at one point or another, we've been given some kind of message around receiving and what it means about us. So the message may be, you don't deserve to receive. The message may be, it's too soft and weak to receive. The message may be, when you receive, it takes away from others and others hurt because of it. You're lazy if you receive. You need to be taking action and getting all the time instead of, right? So there's so many variations on this, but this is one of those messages that there's not enough time to receive. I'm just not the kind of person, my family isn't the kind of family that receives, right? So many different variations. And it's like, you know, those are the kinds of messages that seep into us from culture or from family or community or whatever, that then we never even question. We never even know that we have that belief. We just accept it as truth because that's how society works in a way. And so the more that we can be really aware of the messaging that has seeped into us from dominant culture and start to question it and rewire it, I mean, in general, but then like specifically around receiving, that's one thing that can be really helpful. The other thing for now that I'll just say is that the other thing that society has trained most of us to do is to armor up. And I think Brené Brown talks about this too, like we're armored up so that people don't take from us and we don't get hurt and we don't, like all the things. But in essence, when we armor up, we're also closing ourselves off from being open to receive. So having some somatic practices where we can feel safe in our bodies, but allow ourselves to let go of some of the armor, like to practice some of that receiving. And then if we're willing to take that into our practical lives, like somebody wants to do us a favor and intentionally we accept it, like, thank you, I receive that, right? Or we're walking down the street and we see a penny or a dime and we pick it up. Thank you, universe, I receive that, or like whatever it is, right? So those are different practices that can support in that. Is that helpful?
Yeah, so if I hear you correctly, it sounds like it's wise and healthy to set boundaries and look at healthy giving as well as healthy receiving.
Yeah, 100%.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
I used to, and now I'm rethinking it because of Stanley and his excellent talk, but I used to call it the feminine art of receiving, because I feel like dominant culture just so values giving or doing or taking action, and we haven't been taught as a society to also value being able to take in So it may not be the feminine art, but I feel like there is an art of receiving that just holds so much opportunity for so many of us.
Thank you.
Yeah, great question. Anything else? Journaling, homework, how you give homework, or anything else that's come up through our time together today that wants to be asked or shared? Julia.
Yeah, I'm so sorry, but I feel that this is so important for me. The practice that you were speaking about for feeling safe and wrapping the armor in our body, I love the intentionally accepting, receiving through the words. What else or what kind of journal prompts can we use for opening up our capacity and ability to receive? Like truly receive, not... So for me, I have a lot of yeah, but, and it's almost to temper down any sense of vanity or perceived vanity or whatever the heck I'm trying to judge myself into or out of. To just accept like a child.
Yes, yes, I hear you. So I'll share some journaling pieces. What I do want to say though is at some point you're going to want to go beyond the mental level of learning with that and see, like, to feel it in your body too, because there is this visceral, like, to that, you know what I'm talking about, Julia, where we are like armored and we don't let in, and it's as much visceral and in our bodies as it is in our minds.
Let's go there.
So, but for the journaling, I mean, having an ongoing practice, like a daily practice of at the end of the day, it could be, okay, so if you do it at the end of the day, it can be like, what was given to me today? And what did I receive today, right? And really to note, like, the smile from the person who was walking down the street, you know, like, I received that smile and the favor that that person did, or like anything the universe gives or God gives, like that new client or that great client session, or right? So it's a little bit celebrations and gratitudes, but you can frame it in the language of receiving, you know, and did I really take it in? And if I didn't, can I really take it in right now? Right? So this also, I had that great client session and I just moved on to the next thing. Can I take a moment and close my eyes right now and take in the goodness? Can I receive the goodness of that experience and really breathe it in?
Well, it just feels so wrong.
Yeah, what feels wrong about it?
Showing off, even if there's no one here.
Yeah. What's the belief about showing off?
Good girls don't show off. You just do it and you do it well, and that is your praise, and you keep it moving.
Yeah, you don't get to receive, right? You just... Yeah, what's going on for you right now? This feels really important and big. You see the emotion coming up.
Yeah. I always thought that I was being ungrateful. But it's just something else. It's not. It's just that. It was almost like anytime I received something with great joy, it was perceived as me putting on a show. And yet that was just my energy in that moment. Yes. Just absolutely being in heaven about whatever it was.
Yeah. Yeah. And so you learned to not be in that energy of intense joy and excitement about what you were receiving. I'm so glad this is coming up, because that's a place to work, right? To find that part of you again and to lean into that part, so that you can actually receive the blessings in your life?
And there's so many.
Yes.
Yeah. So what's a homework assignment you want to give to yourself? Speaking of homework journaling assignments.
Yes. I'm going to dialogue with a little girl. Mm-hmm. And we're going to have a bit of a dance party. We have quite a bit great and really like, oh my God, I have so much to celebrate.
Yeah. Give yourself permission. Yeah. It's really hard to celebrate if you're not allowing yourself to receive the celebration, right? Then it's just like an empty list of celebrations, right? That deeper receiving is so big. Good. I'm so glad this came up. Thank you, Julia.
Wow. Thank you.
Raka's saying in the chat, perhaps an antidote is a different idea that everything we have is already given, a gift. I love that. Yeah, we haven't really earned anything. Linda.
Yeah, so for me, my, on this, what came up is this whole thing of receiving. And so I'm really glad that the question was asked about receiving and giving. So I have a real challenge with if a lot of receiving comes to me at one time. So if I'm in a class and I'm all the praise is coming towards me, I feel like, well, what, like I think you mentioned this, Joanna, well, what about the other people? Wait, say their name. They did something good too. And I have this like fairness gene that kicks in or whatever that I just say, okay, that, thank you, I got it, but let's let's spread the love, you know? And I feel, yeah, so, but anytime I'm, you know, it's like a, there's that limit of where I can take it. And then if there's like lots and lots of praise, the fairness thing kicks in, or I feel a lot of animosity from other people in the room, like, you know, it's a,
yeah.
So I have to get used to that, that if I'm going to let it in, to also, you know, like you say, don't put walls up, but like how you deal with the jealousy or animosity that may come up from other people, particularly women, because they're, you know, they want the praise too. And, you know, all of our conditioning, et cetera, et cetera. But I'd love your thoughts on that, Joanna.
Yeah, I love how this conversation, I just have to say, this conversation has morphed from journaling as a coaching tool to receiving, which is great. Maybe at some point.
Well, you said what came up, you know, what came up?
No, I know. Maybe I'm just saying maybe at one point we really need to do like a full thing on like deep receiving. It's such a big and important topic. And you're asking this big and important question at the very end. So I'm going to give you, I'm going to say a couple of things. That will hopefully be helpful for you or anyone else that this is coming up for. And the first is that I don't have all the answers. I think I may have mentioned this before, but if not, I want to share in case anyone is really resonates with what Linda is saying. It's a little bit different for me, Linda, but for me, and it's like hysterical at the beginning of this class, I ask people to share testimonials, to write them in. But whenever I get a testimonial, whenever I get praise, and I've had to work on this over the years, and it's still hard for me, I viscerally get very uncomfortable. Like I want to run away, stay away from me, run out of the, you know, I want to run out of the room. It's this visceral feeling of no, you know, and right. And that's from a series of beliefs around what it means to be seen or what people believe isn't actually what it is. I've actually fooled them into, right. Like, or I'm taking attention away from others, or I need to be humble. You know, like there's so many of those different beliefs that can contribute to that. Right. So the way that I have worked with this over the years for myself is, number one, to continue to name the beliefs, to befriend your fears with the fears and the beliefs, to dialogue with it, right? So that's one, like to really be in relationship and to dialogue with those parts that are saying all those things. Number two, and I am in process with this, no perfection, not even close to it here, to build resilience, to be able to receive the praise. So for me, it is about going back and like sitting and getting grounded and reading a testimonial. And then even if I'm like, wanna run away, like to take it in, right? Sometimes, I mean, they also make me so happy too, but then like on that deeper, deeper level, right? I actually have to create a container for myself to take it in. Or I have to remind myself if it's being given verbally or in a class, instead of to just go into flight around it, to actually pause for a moment and say, thank you for that, right? And then move on from there, because you don't want to like, you don't want to spend a lot of time on it in a class or whatever, but to see if you can build that resilience and that safety just in that moment. That little thing, like, yes, thank you, and go from there. Somebody in this current cycle of advanced, Erica Peskin, she says, when somebody gives you a compliment, you should respond, thank you, it's true. And even if that is like so painful and uncomfortable, to practice that, thank you. It's true. Right? So anyway, hopefully that gives you some ideas to work with it. I think it's a process, and it's a process of building that resilience in your body to be able to take in while working with the beliefs.
Totally clear. I know we're over, but I just have to ask, what about the thing of taking it in at the same time buffering out the animosity or the feelings of jealousy, because that's the part I find particularly challenging.
Yeah, so the more that you are going to be seen, the more opportunity it is to trigger people, for people to project their stuff onto you, for jealousy to be triggered, etc. It's not your job. And I say this in process myself, again, no perfection here, no pedestal here. It's not your job to
care. So just let it be, like just notice it and just like let it be?
Yeah.
Okay.
I know it's work, right? It's work. There are some deeper energetic, like if we want to get into shadow, there are some deeper, not for today, there are some deeper energetic pieces around our own jealousy to work on, right? If we feel that a lot of jealousy is coming at us, nine times out of 10, it's also an invitation to go deeper into like our feelings about comparison and jealousy and that kind of stuff too. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, thank you. Great questions. Oh, Elijah's saying, Mama Gina says, thank you. It's true. So maybe Erica got it from there. All right. Well, our conversation morphed, but I feel like we went with where the energy needs to go. I also trust that you all got exactly what you needed in order to start practicing. If you're not already assigning journaling exercises to practice or to get more creative, assign yourself some journaling or drawing or movement exercises. Go deeper into your own soul work as well. I'm sending you all a lot of love, and I will see you for our big 3-hour finale next week. Sending you all lots of love.